In his long journey to becoming one of the most recognized characters in show business, the late Julius Marx played many different roles. Maybe the greatest of all was one he developed last, the host of a quiz show called You Bet Your Life. Here's a Groucho Marx excerpt that few have heard.
Now, John, are potatoes really fattening?
No, sir. It's what you put on in this fattening.
Like, what do you mean?
Oh, butter, gravy, cheese. But if you put that on a mattress, it'd fatten you, too.
That's one of the few things I've never had on a mattress.
He had been Groucho before in the theater and movies, but a new book reveals how the most famous Marx brother blended elements of his earlier characters with his own quick wit to evolve into a radio and TV star. Morning Edition heard about the book and about a little-known treasure trove of Groucho clips that were cut out of the original broadcasts. NPR's Alex Chadwick reports.
Groucho Marx was appearing on Bob Hope's radio show in 1946 when both comedians dropped their scripts and began to ad-lib. Watching, producer John Goodell was struck by Groucho's ability to improvise. But with the strict censorship code of the day, putting Groucho on live was risky. Goodell had an idea. Give Groucho a quiz show. Have him joke with the contestants, record it in front of an audience, and then edit the results. You Bet Your Life began on radio in 1947 and went on to television in 1950.
Here he is, Groucho Marx, in You Bet Your Life.
A pair of contestants could bet on each question. If either said the secret word, a funny-looking stuffed duck would drop down holding two $50 bills in extra prize money. The announcer and straight man, George Fenneman, introduced the quizmaster.
And here he is, the one, the only...
Well, here I'm again with a chance for each of our couples to win up to $10,000. And if any of them say the secret word, they'll win an extra $100. George, who's first?
Well, Groucho, Louise Randall Pearson is waiting to talk to you now, and her partner is...
Before each quiz began, Groucho interviewed the contestants, and that's what made You Bet Your Life one of television's most popular shows for 11 seasons. Robert Dwan was director, and he edited the program for weekly broadcast. He's described the experience in a new book titled As Long As They're Laughing, Groucho Marx and You Bet Your Life.
It's basically a comedy show, and the quiz part of it is just a kind of an excuse to get the people there. It worked because we used real people. We didn't have to make up the jokes about mothers-in-law and pedestrians. The people brought their material with them.
Why are you here together?
Mr. Fiddeman found out that we're roommates.
I beg your pardon?
On the show.
What was that?
Mr. Fiddeman.
Mr. Fiddeman? You mean Fenneman?
That's right.
Does he tell you his name was Fiddeman?
I can't pronounce it.
But how did he find... Why did he want you here? He found out what?
We're both so much alike in so many ways.
You were roommates. Is
yes.
That what you said before? Mm-hmm. Roommates? Where's Fiddeman? Get him out here. Hey, Fiddeman, come out here. You changed your name, I see. Huh? Why did you do this, George?
I didn't do anything, honest.
They told me that you said that your name was Fiddeman. Now, you must have been doing it for some reason. When I use a different name, there's a reason for it. And I'm sure there is when you do it. Aren't you a married man?
Well, up till now, I was, yes.
The whole idea was to allow him complete freedom, and he could go off on any tangent he wanted to, and then we could edit it later, because the standards for broadcast material in 1950 were quite different from what they are today.
I should tell our listeners that in addition to this book, which is a collection of your memories about Groucho, you have also sent us a collection of things you cut out of You Bet Your Life.
Yeah.
Because they were too risque for the times. Here's one.
Well, now, suppose you became a famous actress and then you met somebody you liked and got married. Would you be willing to quit acting and be a housewife and a mother?
Well, I think if you keep your feet on the ground, you can combine both. That's what I would like to do.
Well, if you keep your feet on the ground, you'll never be a mug.
When you were sitting with him there during the show, were you hoping he would say more things like that or hoping he wouldn't? Because you'd hear something that was very funny, but you thought, I'll never get that past the censors, so...
What we hoped was that he would be as free and creative as he was in real life.
Well, is the oxygen business pretty profitable?
Well, sometimes it's almost too good. He's on 24-hour call, and...
He's on 24-hour call, and you've got 10 kids?
He gets home in between calls.
Imagine if he had a job around the house.
The woman was not offended. She expected to participate in a comedy, and people were kind of pleased to be on the show. They didn't have a chance to win a lot of money, but a little bit.
You know, he had such a personality. Groucho had such a personality. His character is so well known. And he didn't really have to say anything. All he had to do was... look and wiggle that cigar a little, you know, and raise the eyebrows.
Yeah. Yeah, he used the eyebrows and the cigar very skillfully. The cigar came in very handy while he searched through his mental computer and came up with that unexpected answer.
How would you analyze me?
You? Oh, every time I see you with a cigar in your mouth, I think of all the frustrations you had as a child and the wrong kind of a bottle that they gave you. Here, they've given you the right kind of a bottle.
Mademoiselle, it may interest you to know that I never had a bottle.
In 1950, in that whole decade, it was kind of an uptight decade. A lot of things hadn't happened yet. Women's lib hadn't happened, and the sexual revolution. And at that time, you couldn't mention any body part, especially if it had anything to do with sex. So he couldn't say his mother nursed him.
And that was too risque.
Yes. The audience... I always had the impression that they were sitting there like in a pressure cooker full of inhibitions, and somebody would say a word and they would explode into laughter. And some of it was pretty silly, and a lot of it happened not because of something Groucho said, but because of what one of the contestants said.
Thanks for all the fond memories of You Bet Your Life.
Okay.
Robert Dwan's new book is called As Long as They're Laughing, Groucho Marx, and You Bet Your Life. In Washington, this is Alex Chadwick, NPR News.
You Bet Your Life was brought to you by the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America.
Friends, go in and see a DeSoto Plymouth dealer tomorrow. And when you do, tell them Groucho sent you.